All right, the Word of God warns us that in the end times, apostasy will run rampant. It will be the thing that will increase right before the coming of the Son of Man. Have you ever asked yourself, what exactly will this look like? Well, we're going to show you firsthand today. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, family? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Listen, if you're new, first time joining us, maybe you're hopping onto the program, let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. And before we get started, can you help us out? Can you do us a favor and help us get the word out and get some eyes on our ministry and these messages? You can do that by simply smashing that like button. It only takes a second to do that, and it helps us get out on these algorithms. And if you guys would like to keep up with us here on YouTube and Rumble, make sure you subscribe, hit that bell notification, and you can keep up with this. Also, I want to let you know that we do have a free app, and it is available, and it is beneficial for you, and it is absolutely free, and it's available on Apple and Android devices. And you could just simply go to your Play Store or under the description of this video, just hit that link. And once you see the app, download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away and good to go. So as we talked about the introduction to this message, we talked about end time apostasy. Jesus warned that this would be rampant. The apostles warned about this. In fact, one of the very familiar passages, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll pull this up for you guys that are watching and listening. Again, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul warns the church of Thessalonica that the very first thing, he said, above all things, the first thing that's going to happen before the Antichrist is revealed and before the Son of Man returns, he said, there will come a falling away that must come first. And again, this term falling away that you're looking at on your screen comes from the Greek word apostasia, where we get the root word of apostasy. So Paul is telling us here that before the Antichrist is made manifest and revealed to the world, there has to come a defection of truth among God's people. Now, again, I know if you guys are a regular follower of our ministry, you know that we do not shy from this. We talk about this, we expose it, and we make this known. Why? Because this is extremely important. Jesus warned about it. The apostles warned about it. So I think that we should echo their warnings and warn about this. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul goes as far as to say that as a result of deceiving spirits or seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, this is going to cause many to depart from the faith. They're going to completely shipwreck the faith, abandon the faith because of the stuff that we're going to show you today. So we've got some reaction videos we want to talk about today. We've got some articles that we're going to cover today. So we've got a jam-packed program tonight. So we're glad to have you. And buckle up because we're going to show you a lot of stuff here. All right, this first video I want to show you is absolutely astounding. And this may go down as one of the greatest examples of end time apostasy that I have seen. This quote unquote female pastor, you're going to hear some blasphemous statements come from her mouth. And you can see the title here. I'm not even going to read the title. We'll just listen to ourselves. Ready? Let's go. Let's watch this.
Jesus were here today, he would be a clinic escort, distracting women from the hatred of the protesters.
Wait a minute. If Jesus were here today, he'd be a clinic escort. Wait a minute. An escort to a clinic? Are we talking about a medical clinic here to get patched up, the wounds healed, hurts, get some x-rays? Nope, that's not what kind of clinic she's talking about. Let's listen.
Or an abortion doula holding women's hands and offering support and love as they end their pregnancies.
What? No, surely she didn't just say that. Let's listen to this
again. If Jesus were here today, he would be a clinic escort, distracting women from the hatred of the protesters, or an abortion doula, holding women's hands and offering support and love as they end their pregnancies.
Guys, this woman has made this blasphemous claim. You've heard it from her mouth. I did not twist her words. I did not take it out of context. This woman said that if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, was here today, he would personally escort pregnant women to Planned Parenthood, an abortion clinic, so that they could terminate their pregnancy. She even went as far as to say that he would even hold their hand and comfort them and encourage them to end the life of the child in their womb. Now again, tell me this is not a doctrine of demons, a seducing spirit. This is not apostasy. This woman, again, is behind a pulpit of a quote-unquote church claiming to be a representative of Christ and making these statements. Let's listen on.
And I expect he would have a stern word for self-righteous legislators who use abortion as a political issue rather than showing compassion for the people seeking abortions.
So he would have a stern warning against legislators who would try to protect the rights of the innocent and the unborn. He wouldn't have a stern warning and rebuke those who are shedding innocent blood, though, right? That's what she's telling us.
Today, on this Rose Sunday, I wanted to share some of the stories we have collected because these are the sacred stories of women's lives. If Jesus were giving his sermon today, he might also have said, "Blessed are those who end pregnancies."
Wow. Wow, guys. If that doesn't grieve, vex, and quench the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, friend, then check your pulse. The whole time I'm listening to this video, I'm looking and watching and waiting for a lightning bolt to come down from heaven for something. This woman better be very thankful that we are living in what's called the dispensation of the grace of God. Because if she was not, and we were not in that dispensation, we wouldn't be having this conversation because this would end abruptly. It would not end well. And it will not end well for this woman on the day of judgment. I can tell you that. This is a perfect example of someone who's going to stand before God, Matthew chapter 7, and he's going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you."
If Jesus were here today, he would be a clinic escort, distracting women from women's. And I expect he would have a stern word for self-righteous legislators who use abortion as a political issue rather than showing compassion for the people seeking abortions. Today, on this Rose Sunday, I wanted to share some of the stories we have collected because these are the sacred stories of women's lives. If Jesus were giving his sermon today, he might also have said, "Blessed are those who end pregnancies, for they will be known for their loving kindness."
Yeah, because it's so loving and kind to destroy an innocent life that never had a chance.
I have been pregnant 4 times. I have had 2 abortions, and I have 2 amazing children. Each of my reproductive decisions, to have children and not to have children, were sacred decisions. because they reflect the moral responsibility of reproductive power that is part of our inheritance as human creatures.
What? What? This is absolutely absurd, guys.
Each of you has a reproductive story. And given that one quarter of American women will have an abortion by the age of 45, I imagine some of your reproductive journeys also include abortion.
Yeah, and that's a sad statistic, too.
Blessed are those who end pregnancies.
Stop it. Stop.
They will be known for their loving kindness.
No, they'll be known for shedding innocent blood, and they will be held accountable for that.
Reimagining our theological understanding of abortion is essential to addressing the violence that is being done to people across the country in the name of Christianity.
Guys, is anybody else's head about to explode off of their shoulders? So she addresses the violence of those who oppose abortion, but she doesn't address the violence of those who are participating in it. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
In the face of the rampant reproductive injustice in our society, what does God require of us?
Guys, this is the epitome of the woke agenda puppet. The woke agenda puppet that has crept into the church. And I'm going to show you all about this. We're going to talk about this. This is an absolute example. If I could make this a poster child for 1 Timothy chapter 4, seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, causing people to fall away from the faith, this would be it. You can't get any better example than this. When Paul said there would be a falling away, an apostasia, this is it, friend.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Don't amen that. Don't amen that. All right, guys, we're just getting started today. If this is offensive to you, you've got the wrong channel. We don't compromise the Word of God. We don't water it down. We don't go and try to find a translation that has diluted the Word of God to the point where it's become woke and it no longer holds any power or authority to it. We adhere to, come on, the Word of God that changes not. Jesus Christ said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. All right, we got another, this is another reaction video. This is from Nicholas Bowling. He's a street minister, preaches the gospel. I'm going to link the full video. We'll put the video so you can watch the full link without me stopping and doing my commentary. And again, I've addressed this. I have to interject commentaries, guys, because if I don't do this, they'll flag us. That's how you do reaction videos. You have to stop and you do it for education purposes and teaching and stuff like this. So again, if you want to watch the full conversation without me interrupting, I'll put the link down there so you can visit it. But here is a man of God who is street ministering to the Alphabet community, and this takes a very weird turn and dark turn. Let's watch this.
I'm not just making an assumption.
I'm an ordained minister of the Disciples of Christ Christian Church.
Okay, I'm an ordained minister of the Disciples of Christ Christian Church. So she's an ordained minister of this Disciples of Christ Christian Church. Well, let's see what she has to say.
And in the Bible, it does not talk about people going to hell who are gay.
She said she's an ordained minister. And she says that the Bible does not talk about going to hell or people going to hell who are practicing homosexuals. Well, let's do a fact check and see if she's correct, if she's right, or if the Word of God's right. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, the Apostle Paul gives us a black and white list of what will not inherit the kingdom. Here's what he says. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Notice he equates this with deception. Why? Because he knew, the Apostle Paul knew, there would come a day, and it was in his day, and it would wax worse in the end times as we got closer to the coming of the Son of Man. He knew that there would come a time when there would be, quote unquote, people who claim to be of God, ministers of God, ordained, a woman pastor, this, that, and they would come and they would make these ridiculous claims that would be contrary to sound doctrine. So what, this is why he says this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now watch this. Neither shall fornicators, people that sleep together that are not married, idolaters, people that worship everything and anything but God, nor adulterers, people that are sleeping with other people's husband or wife. Now look at this. Nor homosexuals. Paul said, homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God, amongst other things that he lists here. But since we're not focused on that, I'm just fact checking this woman's claim, who says that the Bible does not say that homosexuals will go to hell. He says here, any of these who practice this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Thus, hello, if you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, your destination is not heaven. It is not the new heaven and the new earth. Your name will not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And according to John, you will stand at a great white throne judgment. The books will be open and your name will not be found in it. And all those whose names were not found in the book will be tossed into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. That's what the Bible says. All right, let's go back to this.
It does not say it. And I know, yes, the Greek, and I know the Hebrew, and I studied it in seminary.
Yeah, more like cemetery. I don't know what seminary she went to, but it was definitely not sound.
Are you willing to stand here for my response? Or are you going to walk away because you don't want to hear it?
Oh,
I'm willing to have a very rational conversation with you about the scripture.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you, by the way, for being rational and having a conversation. So this is 1 Corinthians 6. We can talk about the Greek.
Now he's getting ready to read the same scripture.
And it says, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he keeps going on. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So he's saying some of you guys were homosexual. Some of you were sodomites. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were fornicators. But now you're not anymore because you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of Jesus.
Yep.
So if you look at the Greek wording for sodomite, the Greek word, I can't pronounce it very well.
Yeah, it's so hilarious, isn't it?
Pronounce it. It says arseno.
I can't read it because I don't have my readers on, but I'll say one thing.
Let me blow it up.
I will say one thing, and that one thing is that when Jesus Christ came, he said there is a new spirit and a new law, and that law is love. And
he never said that. That is nowhere in the Bible, by the way.
Eradicates all of the Old Testament, or First Testament, if you would rather, the First Testament scripture that were written by humans who were trying to put together what was going on in their world.
Yeah, they were men of God who were inspired by the Holy Spirit that wrote it.
And so the Bible is actually not the literal word of God. It is inspired by God.
The Bible is not the literal word of God. This is an ordained minister, right? Who went to seminary.
And the love that comes from Jesus is in most major religions. And that is what this festival is about. Not about people coming and trying to say that you are sinners. This is about love.
Wow, that is, guys, that is demonic. Absolute demonic. Listen, is there a love of God? Yes. But God loves us so much that he refuses to allow us to stay the same that we were. Notice Paul said, such were some of you, but Jesus washed you in his blood, because that's the whole point, guys, of why he came. For the Son of Man came to save sinners. It's not the healthy that need a doctor or a physician. It's the sick. They need the physician. They need the great physician. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Wow.
Okay. You didn't have a conversation.
Yay. Yeah. Let's cheer it on, everybody. All these people have no idea about the Word of God. They don't read the Bible. They don't study it. They don't know it. And because this woman claims to be an ordained minister of God, they all just clap and agree. Why? Because it's all about love. It's all about love. Why don't you read Romans chapter 1, where it talks about there's natural affections and there's unnatural affections. And read what the consequences of those who practice unnatural affections when God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are unlawful and wicked. And the Bible, you read on the whole book of Romans chapter 1, and he talks about, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against such things. Well, preacher, you sound like you're just full of hate. No, I'm not full of hate, ma'am. I'm not full of hate, sir. I hate the sins of the enemy. I hate the wicked one. The only person I hate is the devil, who has deceived people like this. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I love you so much that I'd rather you go to heaven mad at me than go to hell happy on a bobsled.
About that. You neglected exactly what the scripture said and what the Bible said. You neglected what you said. This is after.
I forgot. Paul was the biggest feminist. Paul, actually, Aquinas, Aquilas, and Priscilla were the first.
Paul was the biggest feminist. Listen to that. Wow. You know why? You know why Paul was the biggest feminist? Probably because he told somebody like you to sit down and keep your mouth shut because you don't know what you're talking about. Now, ladies, I'm not directing that at you. I believe, listen, I'm for you. I believe in women and women prophetesses. I believe in women teachers. Now, when you talk about a woman pastor, I have a problem with that based on the Word of God. But I don't have a problem with women teachers. And man, I don't have time to go into all that, because I can go in and show you about Philip and had two daughters. They were prophetesses. I can talk about Aquila and Priscilla that she's bringing up here. And they were a dual, ministers that preached out of, they had a home church, and they were, again, they were a husband and wife ministry. So I don't have a problem with women being used in ministry. Joel chapter 2 says, God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all sons and daughters, upon all flesh. He's going to use sons. He's going to use daughters. Okay. But to come along like this and say this, guys, that's what this is directed at. So it's kind of hilarious that she called Paul a feminist. And that's the whole motivation behind that.
Female and male ministers in scripture. And hey, Jesus was homeless. Did you know Jesus was a homeless man?
Yeah. Did you know that Jesus had a place to stay? Did you know that I can show you in the book of John where he told his disciples, come and see where I'm staying?
Yes. Did you know that Jesus was people who were in the peripheral part of the world and in communities? He had dinner with them and he said, there's no sin in you. Love is in you.
That's not what he never said, that, guys. There's nowhere in the New Testament where Jesus ever made this statement. This woman is an apostate. She is the epitome of an apostate.
He focused on love.
What did?
And there was what?
So you're just throwing out the scriptures.
Yes. And there's extra biblical texts that have been taken out of the Bible, and they were very different. So if y'all want to look at extra biblical texts that the Nicene Council kept.
Yeah, you've been throwing out extra biblical text the entire time you've been yapping, lady.
Out of the Bible that were a bunch of white men who were, you know, unaware, and they did in 2024. Yes. Oh my God, word.
Yes. I love the patience of this guy. Brother, you have more patience than I do. I can tell you right now. And I admire this guy's patience. This guy's obviously not Italian like I am. I don't know if I could have I think I would have been gone full blown Elijah the prophet, John the Baptist here. I don't know, but I'm just saying that's probably why God's not calling me to street ministry and why he's got me doing this.
So Jude, Paul isn't the only one that talked about it. Jude talked about homosexuality. He talked about the punishment.
Yep.
Yeah, I would run away too, because you don't trust in the Bible. You don't trust in God's word. You just said it was all inspired by God. You are a religious hypocrite, and the Bible says there will be a worse condemnation for religious hypocrites. Just so you know, you don't know the true Jesus, nor the true gospel, nor the true spirit, based on what you said. I'm not judging it. I'm just saying, based on what everything you just said.
At the same time, the Bible says, don't judge others and be who you want to be, and you're judging everyone else for what they're doing.
Exactly.
Why is this kid out here? How old is this kid? And he's out here representing LGBTQ. Where are you at, Mom? Where are you at, Dad? Wow. What in the world is going on here?
Wearing rainbow is a sin, pretty much.
That's what you're saying.
We just talked about it, that I'm not judging anyone. Me pointing out the law, because God loves you.
He's there because he's preaching the truth.
God loves you. Well, yeah. I'm saying the law of the speed limit of 35 miles an hour, that's a law that's in place. And if someone goes through here going 70 miles an hour, we're all going to know. It's an analogy.
What's that got to do with the Bible? What is all that nonsense that lady spewed got to do with the Bible? It's amazing how they want to rebuke this guy because he's trying to use an illustration. What's that got to do with the Bible? When that lady was spewing all kinds of nonsense that had nothing to do with the Bible, making blasphemous statements that Jesus said that he never said. And again, this is demonic, guys. This is how demons operate, as they stir up the crowd. And remember, I can take you to the book of Acts where the woman was demon possessed and she was going around and saying, she was yelling and screaming, causing disruption, saying these men are servants of the Most High God. And then the man of God got fed up with it and he rebuked her and cast the devil out of her.
So I know you guys didn't hear, but listen, if I look at that sign and I say, hey, listen, everyone, the speed limit is 35. And if someone goes through here and they're going 70, we're all going to know they're not going 35. And we can know the consequence of the law, which is, okay, now you're going to get a ticket. You're going to stand before a judge. You might get arrested. So that's not judgment. You guys aren't listening. But anyway, it's not judgment.
Right.
So basically what you're saying is that the judge does that to help people, to help them not get hurt. But by being LGBTQ, we're not hurting anybody at all. We're not killing anybody. We're not making them hurt emotionally. We're not physically hurting anybody. We're not doing all that. So if you want to respect God, respect yourself and respect us. You don't go somewhere and go tell somebody that they're doing something wrong by being themselves.
Okay, so listen. This is what the Bible says, okay? This is not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you what the law says. The law says that homosexuality is wrong. Listen, it says this. It says when you commit sexual immorality, just listen. When you commit sexual immorality, you sin against your own body and you receive the penalty that's due. So when people commit...
See, nobody wants to hear this. That's the thing. And you know what's sad is there's people that call themselves Christians in the church and they don't want to hear this. You, it's easy for us to clap and say amen, Brother Ricky, to a bunch of these people that don't know God. And it's evident. But what about the churches that has people that come in every Sunday that are sitting in the congregation that are committing these same sins? They're fornicating. They're committing adultery. They're committing sodomy. They're committing homosexuality. And God only knows what else. They're drunkards. They're liars. All this stuff. And a man of God gets up behind a pulpit, opens the Bible, and preaches against these lifestyles. This same reaction that you're seeing here will come from those people in the church. And they, you know what they'll do? They'll throw this guy out. They'll vote him out, and they'll get somebody else to replace him that will tickle their ears because they've turned away from the truth. This is what Paul warned about. He said the day would come when they would no longer endure sound doctrine, but according to their own lust, they will heap together. They will go out and they will search for people that will teach them and tickle their ears what they want to hear. And they'll turn from the truth to fables, lies, deception, seducing spirits, doctrines of demons.
Homosexual actions, there is hurt that's happening. There is harm that's happening. They're opening up their own body for demons to come and to torment and to cause anxiety, depression, suicide. Thoughts, actually, things like that, sickness, disease, STD, AIDS, there's a whole lot of penalties that come because of that thing. So to say homosexuality, I'm not hurting anyone, you're hurting yourself.
Right.
You're hurting yourself. Yes, you are. Biblically speaking, you're sinning against your own body, and there's going to be a penalty that's happening. So it's in the Bible, okay? So if I'm truly a Christian, then I have to stand by the Bible. If anyone else here claims to be Christian, as some people are claiming, then you have to stand by the
If anything, I think that these people here today are strong, are just as strong as the Almighty God.
Yikes. That was very cringe. These people here are just as strong as Almighty God. Look at their faces like, what? Yeah, like even some of these people understood the ramifications of what just come out of this girl's mouth that was completely blasphemous.
I think that we're capable of making a movement, you know?
Yeah. Who else agrees with that?
Everyone.
Okay, you all agree with that. So you're all agreeing that you're all just as strong as the Almighty God?
Unbelievable.
No, well, we're not saying that.
That's what you're agreeing with.
We're not saying that.
I'm just trying to, that's what you said.
Well,
you said, I believe we're all as strong as the Almighty God.
Yeah.
So, I'm just saying.
Can I say something?
I think a lot of people, they should.
And again, whose kid is this? This is ridiculous, guys. This is unbelievable. One guy, two guys here. Nobody knows whose kid this is. And then all these girls.
Get their head no to that. What's up? She's been waiting. You can't next, though.
Excuse me.
Can I shake your hand, please?
Sure.
I'm proud of you. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, God bless you. God loves you, too. Thank you.
Oh, I just wanted to ask a question.
Wow, that was interesting.
You want to get shot?
No, I'm going to get shot. No.
This is Lexington?
Yeah.
And you're about to piss a lot of people off?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you need views, but this specific idea that you have brought up, I understand everyone has their own beliefs, but when you wound up shot, I told you so.
Well, yeah, of course, because enemies... because demonic forces will always, you start poking a hornet's nest, there's going to be repercussions. So, guys, again, I wanted to show you this. These are examples. These are live and in living color examples of end time apostasy of the last days and what we're facing. Here's an article from Jordan Peterson. This is from the Christian Post. Jordan Peterson warns of woke ideology and hedonistic pride infiltrating Protestant churches, and it's become a real danger. Jordan Peterson recently warned that many Christian institutions are straying away from their core values in favor of cultural trends to the detriment of society. In a recent interview with the Christian Post, the 62-year-old author pointed to the prevalence of rainbow flags outside many Protestant churches as representing a deeper abandonment of foundational Christian beliefs in favor of what he has called hedonistic pride. Quote, "We should be concerned by the capture of the Protestant churches by the woke rainbow mob," he said. In Canada and Great Britain, most of the mainstream Protestant churches are covered with rainbow flags. When the Christians begin to worship hedonistic pride, something has dreadfully gone wrong. Peterson said the embrace of identity politics by some churches is a dangerous shift away from the core teachings of Christianity and poses a threat to the integrity of the faith, particularly for younger generations who might be more vulnerable to cultural trends. We just saw an example of that. Even evangelical churches are not immune to these problems. Let me read this. Quote, "There is no shortage of bad actors as well in the Christian community of the sort that the atheists tend to object to. The fundamental problem with religious enterprise is that it can be captured by the psychopathic narcissist, and that's what you see in the gospel story. Christ is persecuted most intensely by the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers. The Pharisees are religious hypocrites who use religion for their own self purposes and intents. That's a real danger in their religious enterprise, and especially the more evangelical forms of Christianity that have been prone to being overrun by self-serving charlatans." And guys, this stuff has infiltrated every sector of Christianity, every sector. The pulpit, from the pulpits to the worship team. In fact, there was a recent article. Let me show you this. This is from Christianity Today. This was written by Matt Redman, who is a Christian artist, worship leader. Listen what he says here. Listen to the headline of this. Why worship leaders need theologians. In this particular article, Redman raises the concerns about many artists, many very prominent Christian worship artists or contemporary, whether it's contemporary, whether it's gospel, whether it's worship, and the list goes on. These individuals claim to be representatives of Christ in their music, but many of their lyrics, many of the songs, and even their own personal beliefs are far from what the Bible talks about. And let me give you a great example of this. Now, the video I'm about to show, I'll put the link down here so you can watch it, the full video, just like I did with the other one, without the interruptions of me stopping this. But this is an expose on Lauren Daigle. Now, when I say that name, everybody, I guarantee you 95% of everybody here knows who Lauren Daigle is. Some of you guys got her music downloaded. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You hear it all the time on Christian radio and different stations and so on and so forth. But here is something you need to know.
However, Lauren's childhood wasn't without its challenges. At the age of 15, she was diagnosed with cytomegalovirus, a condition that forced her to be isolated at home for nearly 2 years. This period of isolation, while difficult, proved to be formative for the young artist. Unable to attend school or socialize normally, Lauren turned to music as a source of comfort and expression. During this time, she immersed herself in the soulful sounds of Adele, Amy Winehouse, and Celine Dion.
So notice all three of these individuals who she looked up to as kind of like her mentors in music, none of these are believing Christians. They may claim to be Christians, but they're not. Their lifestyles, the fruit, you see that, okay? So we want to make that point. That's number one.
These influences would later shape her own vocal style, blending pop sensibilities with the raw emotion of soul music. It was also during this period of convalescence that Lauren's faith deepened as she found solace in worship music and began to explore her own relationship with God.
Okay, so now she's claiming again, by her own testimony, that she is deep in her relationship with God. She's getting closer to God. Again, nothing wrong with that. That's great.
As Lauren recovered and returned to normal life, her passion for music only intensified. She joined a choir at Louisiana State University and began to perform at local venues. Her powerful voice and emotive performances quickly caught the attention of those around her, and it wasn't long before she was encouraged to audition for American Idol.
Okay, so in case y'all didn't know that, she auditioned for American Idol.
In 2010 and again in 2012, Lauren participated in the popular singing competition.
Finished American Idol. The first year is about the top 40, and then second year, third year. And third year is when I was like, okay, something's got to be a little different this time.
While she didn't make it to the live shows, the experience was invaluable. It gave her a taste of the music industry and helped her realize that her true calling lay in creating music that reflected her faith and values.
And guys, I just want to interject this. I don't doubt at all There's not an ounce of me at all that doubts that she was not called to sing, that's her gift. It is abundantly obvious and evident that she was created to use her voice, come on, to lead people into worship, into the presence of God. She has a singing voice. She has a beautiful voice. I could never disagree with that. Her gift is evident. Now, who gave her that gift? God did. Satan didn't give her that gift. God gave her that gift.
Following her American Idol experiences, Lauren took a leap of faith and moved to Nashville, Tennessee, the heart of the Christian music industry. It was here that she began to seriously pursue a career in music, writing songs and performing wherever she could. Her unique voice and passionate delivery soon caught the attention of Centricity Music, an independent Christian record label. In 2013, Lauren signed with Centricity Music, marking the beginning of her professional music career. Her debut EP, How Can It Be, was released in 2014 and immediately resonated with listeners. The title track, in particular, showcased Lauren's ability to convey deep spiritual truths through her music, touching the hearts of both Christian and secular audiences alike.
Okay, so now she's impacting both streams, secular and Christian genres.
The success of her EP paved the way for Lauren's first full-length album, also titled How Can It Be, released in 2015. The album was a runaway success, debuting at number one on the Billboard Christian Albums chart and earning Lauren her first Grammy nomination for Best Contemporary Christian Music Album.
Okay, so now God's elevated her. God's promoting her. I don't believe this was Satan doing this. God is opening doors for her. The Bible says a man's gift will make room for him and set him among great men. So everything at this point, I don't have really much of a problem with. Okay, but something is going to take a turn here. Let's watch this.
Songs like Trust in You and O Lord became anthems in churches across America while simultaneously crossing over to mainstream radio. Lauren's ability to bridge the gap between...
Now, I want to show you something right here. I'm going to rewind this a little bit.
Crossing over to mainstream radio.
If you've not noticed, I've noticed several times here, there's some red flags already surfacing. Have you noticed like all these... Now, some of you guys won't know this, but like my mother came out of the 60s love era. She came out of the hippie, the Woodstock 60s era movement. You know, this is important to understand this, the free love hippie era. And I get these kind of, and I hate to use this word, I get these kind of vibes from her attire and her dress. There's so many places, and I think he's going to point, he'll show some more, you'll see more clips of her, and you'll see her wearing these kind of attire. So it's almost like she identifies with that kind of movement or that kind of culture. Now, is that necessarily a bad thing? Well, yeah, it can be, because... We're going to see how this can play into it in just a second. Let's move on.
Lauren's ability to bridge the gap between Christian and secular music was evident, drawing comparisons to artists like Amy Grant, who had successfully navigated both.
Well, and Amy Grant is a perfect example of a Christian artist who is now fully embraced a homosexuality, LGBTQ. She even... hosted a gay wedding for someone in her family, if I'm not mistaken. This made huge controversy and headlines all over the place. All kinds of publications, Christian Post, Charisma, all of them talked about this. And she even one of her attire had the six colored rainbow LGBT flag on it. So this, again, example of apostate. So I'm not surprised here, but let's move on here.
As her popularity grew, so did the opportunities. Lauren found herself performing on major television shows.
See, again, look at this attire. This is what I'm talking about.
Including The Tonight Show with Jimmy...
Here's another one. Look at this. The headband, this, all this is straight up sick. Come on. Do I got any ladies know what I'm talking about? Listen to me in the chat. Help me out here, ladies. If you come out of the 60s, 70s love era, is this not what they wore, the attire? Does this not look like the hippie, the that attire that representative of that.
Fallon and Ellen. Her music was featured in popular TV series and films, expanding her reach far beyond the traditional Christian music audience. However, with this rapid rise to fame came new challenges. Lauren found herself thrust into the spotlight, facing scrutiny not only for her music, but for her faith and personal life as well.
Okay, here we go.
The pressure to maintain a perfect image while staying true to her beliefs proved to be a delicate balancing act. Her crossover appeal, while broadening her fan base, also led to criticism from some conservative Christian circles who felt she was straying too far from her roots. One notable controversy arose in 2019 when Lauren appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Some conservative Christians criticized her for performing on a show hosted by an openly gay celebrity.
Now, guys, listen, this may come as a shock to you, but I don't really have a problem with that. Because, one, it's an opportunity, and I know some of y'all is going to disagree with me, but for her crossing over like this, now I'm not talking about crossing over as in compromising, but crossing over as in exposing God to a dark world. After all, we're called lights in a darkness. We're called to be light. We're called to be salt, right? We're to call to let our light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So this right here is an amazing opportunity, again, for Ellen, who's a professing homosexual, lesbian, married to another woman, and all of her audience, who we already know a huge makeover of that is going to be of the same beliefs and the same lifestyles. So here's Lauren with an opportunity to reach out to them. Okay, so I don't have a problem with that, but let's just go on.
Arguing that it compromised her faith. Lauren, however, stood firm in her decision, stating that her mission was to share God's love with all people, regardless of their background or beliefs.
And I have no problem with that. I agree with that. That's 100% spot on. But let's watch on.
She said, "I think the second we start drawing lines around which people are able to be approached and which aren't, we've already completely missed the heart of God.
That's an amazing statement. I agree with that.
I don't have all the answers in life, and I'm definitely not going to act as I do. But the one thing that I know for sure is I can't choose who I'm supposed to be kind to and who I'm supposed to show love to."
She nailed it again.
"And who I'm not, because that's the mission, right?" Another challenge came with the release of her second studio album, Look Up Child, in 2018. While the album was a massive commercial success, debuting at number 3 on the Billboard 200 chart, a rare feat for a Christian album, it also marked a slight shift in Lauren's sound. Some longtime fans felt that the album was too pop and not explicitly Christian enough.
Well, I mean, from this point, I cannot confirm that because I don't really... honestly, guys, I've only listened to like maybe 5 of her songs, so I can't really validate that.
Lauren addressed these concerns head on, explaining that her goal was to create music that could reach people who might never set foot in a church. She saw her crossover appeal as an opportunity to share her faith.
Again, that's fine as long as when you get to that platform, you proclaim that Jesus, you hear me? Not love, God, because God is a term that can be thrown around. You do realize that, right? Islam uses the word God. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Buddhists, all of them use the term God. But when you start saying Jesus, that's the difference here.
In a non-threatening way, allowing her music to be a bridge between different worlds. On another occasion, in an interview with host Dominic Natti, Daigle sparked widespread online debate.
Here's where it gets... bad, guys. Real bad.
Asked if she considered homosexuality a sin, her response ignited social media uproar.
Okay, so stop. On this interview, the broadcaster, the interviewer straight up asked her, "Do you believe?" There's no black and or there's no gray areas of this. "Do you believe that homosexuality is a sin?" If I was the one being interviewed and you asked me that, I would say yes, and I would give you scripture for it. There's no gray area. So he asked her this question, and here's the response.
The singer avoided a direct answer.
"Well, since we were talking about Ellen, do you feel that homosexuality is a sin?"
You know, I can't honestly answer on that.
What? Guys, this is the turning point for me. Honestly, when she said this, huge, huge letdown. I honestly can't answer that. Why can't you? Again, if you claim to be a Christian, you serve God, you represent God, your music reflects God, then shouldn't you know the word of God? So this is very disappointing.
In the sense of, I have too many people that I love that they are homosexual. I don't know. I actually had a conversation with someone last night about it. And I was like, I can't say one way or the other.
Wow. And it's all, notice that it's all based on her own emotions. Well, I know people, I have friends that are gay, that practice this lifestyle. Well, that's a huge red flag too, because again, as Christians, we are not to be yoked, let alone with unbelievers, let alone someone who is practicing a lifestyle that the Apostle Paul said will not inherit the kingdom of God. But she's saying, watch this, because she has friends that practice this lifestyle and that she loves them. Are you hearing me? Then I can't directly say whether it's a sin or not. Well, hold on, Lauren. Is it not a sin because you love them and you're afraid that you're going to hurt their feelings and you're going to offend them and you're going to lose your friends? Or are you saying it's not a sin because you truly don't know it's a sin? And you don't know the Bible, which that's a problem too, because you should not be representing Christ if you don't know his word. Or is it number three, and you do know it's a sin, and you've been put on the spot, and you don't want to come out and say that homosexuality is a sin, because then you would lose a lot of your fame and fortune and popularity and platforms and all this stuff and money? That's the question I have.
She encouraged people to read the Bible to find out for yourself.
What? Wow. So I'm not going to answer the question, and I don't really know what the answer is, but hey, go read your Bibles and you can find out for yourself. Guys, we are living in dangerous times. And that's why, guys, I implore everyone under the sound of my voice, watching, listening, by the rebroadcast of this, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you listen to this, for the love of God, please, be a good Berean. If you don't know the Bible and you don't know what I'm talking about when I say that, these were a group of individuals in the book of Acts who, when they heard preaching from the men of God, they went home and they studied the Torah, the law, and the prophets, because there was no Bible compiled then. And they studied the scriptures to see if the things of which they were proclaiming were truth. Where are the Bereans today who know the word of God? We have got to stand on the Bible, on the word of God as truth. And if we're not rooted and grounded in the word, Paul said, if you're not rooted and grounded in the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will be blown by every wind of doctrine. Every wind of anybody that comes around that's new, this is the problem I have, guys, with these rising YouTube influencers. I see it all the time. These quote unquote YouTube Christian influencers they've gone viral on YouTube. They've gone viral on TikTok. And then you start watching some of their content, and they don't preach sound doctrine. Some of them don't even know the Bible, and they're up there again representing Christ and leading multitudes astray. And the Bible says if it were even possible, the very elect would be deceived. And here we are, friends. This is what end time apostasy looks like. This is what the falling away looks like. So I want to encourage all of our readers and our listeners and viewers of our ministry, please get into the Word of God. Read the scriptures, study the scriptures, rightfully divide the word of God, because it is going to be imperative for you and your children, your entire family, to survive in these last days. Because in my opinion, guys, if you don't know the word of God, you're going to be deceived. Because this level of deception, some of you all scratch your head and be like, how in the world could this level of deception pull people away? Friends, what's coming is going to be so great that it's going to be far more deceptive than what we're showing you and displaying you today. Can I show you this before we close? Before we close, I want to show you this. This is what gets me. Paul says, when we come back here to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he tells us in the scriptures that there's coming a falling away first. The apostasy it's got to happen first. Then the man of sin, that's your antichrist of the Bible, the antichrist will be revealed. He will exalt himself as God. He will be worshiped as God. He'll set in the temple in Jerusalem. Revelation 11 tells you the description of this third temple that's coming. And you got Christians, influencers, and teachers that tell you that there's not going to be a third temple. Yes, there is. Revelation 11, it tells you that. The book of Daniel tells you that, friend. Paul says that there's got to come a falling away, an apostasy of the church. And then, watch this, you read down here in verse 6, he says there's a restrainer that is holding back the Antichrist from being fully revealed. Now, before we get to that, when you come down here, Paul says that when this lawless one is consumed, or when he appears, it will be according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Yeah. Again, I've showed you this so many times, but I know we got many new people here. He says all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Look at this, because they did not receive the love of the truth. All these people keep saying the love of God. God is all love. Notice Paul says they didn't receive the love of the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, truth." And the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but through me. He says they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Look at all these people that we showed you examples. This quote unquote woman pastor got up and she has believed the lie of the seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. She has given heed to this. She has been succumbed to lying, deceiving spirits that she's convinced herself that she's a worker and an agent of Christ. When in fact, the Bible says, be not deceived, for even Satan himself can come as an angel of light and find it not strange that even his apostles, his servants, he calls them false apostles, will come into the church and they will lead people astray. All of these people are convinced that they're walking in light. They're walking in truth. And they don't even realize that they've succumbed to deception. The second example, all those young people that don't know the Bible, they've been deceived by the culture, and probably, I guarantee you, they probably go and find churches that agree with their lifestyles. Howbeit, that one woman that was in the crowd was quote unquote she was an ordained minister of this church. That's a perfect example. So these people will flock to these places called churches, but they're really a cage of unclean birds. They're a den of demons that are leading them to hell. And then you have the example of these worship artists. How many of these worship artists, guys, that I know that I cut my teeth on, and Christian musicians back in 2000, that now, fast forward 24 years later, they're not even Christians anymore. Some of them has renounced their faith. Others have embraced seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, now they'll claim to be Christian, and Christian radio stations will still play their music. Shame on them. But they're not living Christianity. They don't even proclaim Christ anymore. But hey, as long as it sells records and it gets ratings up, we'll just keep giving them a platform, right? And all of this nonsense, guys, is exactly what the Bible warned us about. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, guys, if you'd like to keep up with our ministry, the best thing you can do is download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Pick it up today when you can. And again, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away and good to go with every headline, every podcast. And as always, guys, we would love for you guys to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that several different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website. You can see those links right there in front of you on the screen. Or of course, you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines P.O. Box 1391 Monroe, Georgia 30655. Also, if you're listening, if you're watching by Rumble or by YouTube, there's a link there you can give. And right there in the YouTube chat up at the top, either in the live chat or when you're watching rebroadcast this up there in the comment section, you'll see where it says support real big. You just got to click on that link. And so those are several ways, guys, that you can support our ministry. Pray about coming in monthly partner. Again, our ministry is absolutely, we don't charge for any of our sermons, our podcasts. We don't sell merchandise. Our app is free. We have no subscription base. So we sow the seed, we feed the sheep, and our ministry completely operates from a partner base, partner support base. And we appreciate you guys so much for your prayers, your intercessions, and your financial support and partnership of our ministry. So, because if it wasn't for you guys, we would not be able to do what we're doing on these platforms, so on and so forth. So listen, we love you. We appreciate you. And we're going to sign off for tonight. And we plan on being back here probably tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great podcast. Until then, pray the Lord bless you, may keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.